only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. But the fact that Jesus Christ conquered death, in verse 26 of that same passage, it says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And I'm so grateful that Jesus Christ, when he came for that purpose. And of course, God, who loves us more than we can even understand, sent his Son to die for us. And that he was buried and that he rose again, that we might be able to have a relationship with him. To me, when I think about that, that's just the, I don't even understand it. There's no way I deserve that. None whatsoever. But that shows us and demonstrates the love of Christ and how much he loves us. In this passage in John chapter 11, it emphasizes faith. We're going to see that. Jesus is talking to some different folks here, trying to encourage them. We're going to see some things that people do in this, how they respond to this, and see what God has planned for us this morning as well. So as we look at this, we're going to see basically there's 3 points. One of them is an urgent request. The second one is a unique response. And the last one is that the people will understand or reason what's going on. And the message is about faith, as I mentioned, and action. Faith is always, there's always action associated with faith. Now, why people think, oh, I got faith in something, but there's nothing in that. It's an empty faith. Faith leads us to move. Faith gets us off our feet and gets us doing something. Whatever you have faith in, that's what you're going to do. You know, that's just the way it works. And you have faith in Christ, you're going to follow Christ. You're going to look to him and you're going to trust him and you're going to take the steps he has ordered for you and you're going to walk with him. I've entitled the message, it comes directly out of the passage, "Let us also go that we may die with him." That him is Jesus Christ. Repeat it again. "Let us also go that we may die with him." And when that statement was made, that person believed they were walking into a position of dying. That's what happens in a Christian's life. Is we're going to go with him and die with him. Let's go ahead and read the passage, if you would. Go ahead and stand for John chapter 11. Again, it's another long passage, but I'm just going to read. Let's see, I'll just read the first couple verses down through verse 5. And then we'll share the rest of it when we get to it. John chapter 11. "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for allowing us to have this, that we can look at it and come to some understanding. There are a lot of things we can learn from this. And this morning I have just a few, but I know there's many, many other things that we can each understand and learn. And I pray this morning that the Spirit of God would be strong in this place. That we as believers have come, and we've come by faith seeking something from the Word of God that we might be able to put it into action. That, Father, as we understand this life we've called to live is different from anybody else's, Father, help us as his disciples are going to learn more about this. Martha and Mary are going to learn more about this. And there'll be other folks as well. Thank you now for the time we have together. I pray you bless it. Father, give us strength. Again, help my words to be the words you want me to share. And Father, help us to be obedient to the things of God. We'll thank you for it. We pray these things in our precious Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So we see an urgent request here. And think about this. Your brother is sick and your brother is dying. That's what's happened here. They see him die. Now, these folks know Jesus Christ. They had him, Mary and Martha were there with him in Luke chapter 10. And Martha, she was all about serving. She invited Jesus to come to the house. She, when he came into the house, Mary, she dropped down and she's sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word, is what it says, or learning his word. Martha was running around trying to get everything ready because she wanted to help Jesus and give him a meal. Sort of satisfy his physical needs. Yet Mary wanted to sit at his feet and learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Martha complained, Jesus, won't you tell her to come help me? I'm so busy in this kitchen. It's a hot day. No, it didn't say that. But he said, Martha, Martha, that Mary has chosen that which is needful. That which is needful. And so what we can glean from that lesson, which is not part of this, but it speaks to it to some degree, is that before we do our service, let's go sit at the feet of Jesus and learn the Word of God so we know what the service is about. Kind of what we can glean from there. There are other things. That's just something that I saw when I went back and read that, is that it's important to know what we're to do before we do it. Now, you already know a lot of things to do because you've been reading the Word of God, so you don't have to, but you still, every day, you need to get your marching orders, whether it's before you go to bed or whether it's in the middle of the day or the morning, whatever, and find out what the Lord wants you to do. He has a specific plan for each individual that encompasses His business. So, here we see they're concerned. Their brother is lying and sick. Therefore, his sisters, verse 3, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, we could camp on that verse all day long. Because God loves everybody, does he not? You better believe it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He that believeth on the Son of God is not condemned, but he who believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's the point. God loves everybody. And we're Christians. We're born again. We have the Spirit of God. So what does that equate to? His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Then I too am to love like he does. And I don't. But that's the goal, is to do that, right? So Jesus, he loves these folks, and she makes known, and she says, hey, you know who you love? He's sick. He's sick. Verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus already knows the plan. There is a purpose in this. There is a purpose that God has in every one of our lives. Whatever's going on, when we're following Him, He is leading us, and there's a purpose behind it. It may not be something I want to go through. I'm sure Lazarus, laying on the bed, sick, did not want to go through that. And of course, we know it ends up in the fact that he dies, okay? He probably wasn't ready to die. He probably didn't want to die. But yet, this is what God's plan was for his life. So in verse 6 it says, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. We just got an urgent request, and now this is a unique response. If you call 911, you don't want them to wait 2 days to come to your house. You might be a little mad at that, a little upset, especially your loved one, maybe Mary and Martha. But yet he did. It's all part of the plan. See, we want it when we want it, instead of learning how to wait for God. Because he has a plan. It's a master plan. He's already has the steps that are ordered. And that plan has a purpose. Now let me share this. This is just a little rabbit trail, but the Bible teaches there are several reasons for sickness. One is being of chastisement, Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son who receiveth. Sometimes the sickness is for chastening. In other words, wake up, I got something for you to do. You're not doing what I'm told you to do. Another is sickness unto death. 1 John 5:16 says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. This is talking about Christians. We know somebody who experienced a sin unto death. Ananias and Sapphira experienced a sin unto death. But there's also sickness unto God's glory. God allows something into our lives, then he uses this to bring glory to himself. That's what he wants in everything in our lives, is to bring glory to himself. And he allows us to go through things that when we come out on the other side of this, we are giving glory to God, but those around us see God and see what God has done in their life. And two, that's a testimonial witness, what he can do in their lives. And so this is what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about Lazarus. So he's waiting 2 days. He has a plan. And remember, God's timing is always perfect. It is always perfect. Isaiah 40:29-31, Isaiah penned these words to the Spirit of God. He says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, I love that, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is talking about looking to the Lord and waiting on him. Waiting on him for whatever the next decision is. I mean, we do our part. We pray and we walk in the steps God has ordered for us, but we realize that he is in control. We can't rush things necessarily. I mean, my doctor told me when I was at the house, or actually went to see him, the last time I saw him, he said, there is really nothing we can do for you. This is my nephrologist. He said, there's nothing we can do for you. And he said, your chemistries are all whacked out. We're doing everything we can. We got you on dialysis for 13 hours a day. He said, you need to call the hospital. I obeyed my doctor. He had wisdom, and I did. And we talked to the transplant nurse. And we said, hey, what's going on? You know, da, 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 and all this. And a week later, God supplied. Now, I'm just saying, you're obedient to those who are in authority over you. That my doctor was my authority. He told me what to do. He told me the pills to take and all that stuff. And I was listening to him. He had a lot more wisdom than I did. But when he told me that, he says, you are your best advocate. He said, the squeaky wheel always gets the grease. So start squeaking. So there are times, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about walking the steps God has given to us. I did what the doctor told me. I was an advocate for myself. If they said there's nothing we can do, that was it. I'm waiting on the Lord. Okay, there's nothing else that can happen. And that's kind of way we want to do these things, is we're trusting God, knowing that he has got a reason and purpose. And on the other side, whatever happens to my life, I want God to be glorified in that. That's the goal. Because you know what? I'm spending eternity with Jesus Christ. I'm only on this earth maybe 70 years. I don't know. I'm 64. It scares me already. No, I don't know. But who knows? God. He has an appointed time for every one of us. And so we want to walk in the knowledge that I'm here and my whole purpose is to serve Jesus Christ. To live the life He's called me to live. To raise my children. To serve Jesus Christ. So he's got a unique response. He's waiting 2 days. And verse 7 says, "Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again." So he's heading to Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha are. This is approximately 2 miles from where he was. In verse 8, his disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" These guys have some knowledge of what's going on. They know the Jews, the Pharisees, are out to get Jesus and kill him. Put yourself in that position now. You're walking with Jesus, and he said, "Let's go to Bethany." And his disciples who are around him, but Jesus, they're out to stone you, to kill you. Would you go with Jesus? Everyone in this room would say yes. But I would suggest that you won't know until you're in that position. And if you won't go across the street and witness to your neighbor, you're not going to follow Jesus. Ain't going to happen. Because that's a lot easier than going with Jesus. Because look what happens, or look what's said. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." What Jesus is talking about, it refers back really to John 9:4, where Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." In other words, today is the day. Let's don't wait. Jesus was on a divine timetable. It was already known by God the day he was going to the cross. Jesus, when he went to the garden, he knew it was time to go to the cross. And John, he makes several statements. This is kind of the theme of John, one of the themes. In John 2:4, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" He's talking to his mother. "Mine hour is not yet come." John 7:6. "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." John 8:20. "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." John 12:23. "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Jesus was on a timetable. Let me suggest this to you and let you understand this. We are on a timetable. We don't act like it, but we are. We already know, God already knows what the plan is. He knows the steps we should be making today, the light that we should be following. He knows that. We're on that timetable. And it comes to a point where that timetable is going to end up with us that are born again, being absent in the body, and being present with the Lord. Hallelujah! I know if you're young, you're going, "Not now." I understand that. But I'm ready. Now's a good time. But I'm on a timetable. You are too. So the disciples were a little concerned about this whole situation, as we mentioned, because they knew that they were after Jesus. Jesus said in verse 10, verse 11, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Now, he has to interpret that for them because they don't know. We know already what that means because we've read the rest of the stories, Paul Harvey used to say, but they didn't know. We see that in their answer. "Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Boy, I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm addicted to is sleep. Nothing like sleep. You know, when you're dead in the bed, nothing's bothering you. I don't know if you snore or not. Whatever's going on, you're just there, man. It's great. And you wake up, oh, it feels so good. I miss those. I don't get those very often. My sleep is intermittent. Some of you moms know about that more than I do, because you get up and have to stay up for a while. I just get to roll around. So sleep is important. But nonetheless, he was talking about, and he tells them, verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. In verse 14, Jesus made it clear. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know, the Bible talks about sleep often of the believer, and what it's talking about is death of the believer. And we see that 1 Corinthians 15:51, when he says, we shall not all sleep, okay? That's the one that people like to put in the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, I guess. Sorry about that. Sticks in your head when someone shares that with you, you know, whatever. But it's a serious business. So sleep means death for the Christian. But look what he says in verse 15. He says, and I am glad. I am glad, he says, for your sakes that I was not there. He was glad he wasn't there when Lazarus was sick. In fact, he made a point to stay the 2 days where he was, close to the Jordan River where he got baptized, because he had a greater plan. And he tells him, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent, and listen to what he says, that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. God's plan is what? First and foremost, is that we believe and that we take that message to others so they too believe. Of course, it's all to the glory of God. So what he's doing here in this passage, he's working with those men that are following him, his apostles, his disciples there, and he's trying to build their faith up, help their faith to be strengthened, to show them and demonstrate what it is to be a real live Christian trusting God. To build their faith up. To really to know who He is. It's all about who Jesus is in this passage. But then, in verse 16, Thomas, who's called Didymus, that word Didymus means twin. He is a twin brother. I don't know who he is, can't find it, but he's got somebody out there that looks just like him. Okay? At least that's the context or the thought of it. Listen to what he says. Now, this is doubting Thomas. This is the guy at the end of the chapter of John says, hey, I'm not going to believe it till I can put my fingers in the nail prints of his hands and touch him. This is Thomas, this guy. He's with Christ right now. He's walking with Christ. And this is the title of the message. Unto his fellow disciple he's talking to. He didn't say this to Jesus. He's looking out and saying, look, y'all. He says, we also, how do you say that? We must also go, let me read it. I'll be better off. Let us also go that we may die with him. He's talking to his fellow disciples and said, this is a time that we're going to die. Now, he wasn't talking spiritually. He was talking physically. In his mind and his thought process is, they're going to kill Jesus. And we're going to go right into the trap. Would we stop and say, no, I'm not going to do that? Or would we be like Thomas and what little faith he had at the time, which he's getting his faith built up, say, hey, let us go because we're going to die too. That's what he said. Now, for the Christian today, what that means for us is that we have this life to live. It is not my life anymore. I am bought with a price. And through this life, I'm to glorify God. The first dying I need to do is to myself. Paul said, I die daily. And he wasn't talking physically. He was talking to his own direction, to his own way of life. I die daily. So the Lord is going to teach and to encourage these folks because he wants to build their faith up. Now, the Lord knows that there are going to be people around this situation that are lost. This is an opportunity for him because he's going to demonstrate and make known who he is. Why? Because he came for that very purpose, to seeking to save that which is lost. That's why he came. He was using preaching of the Word of God. He was using miracles, demonstration of his power to reveal his deity. Today, we have the Bible, and we can see for ourselves what he did. We can experience this faith, each one of us, ourselves. God still uses preaching. God still uses miracles and demonstrations of his power in people's lives. He said, miracles? What's the miracle? When I got saved, that was a miracle. That was a miracle. I didn't require an operation other than a spiritual operation when the Lord Jesus Christ came into me. That was a miracle. So much so that it changed my life. Took me 4 years to figure that out, what the next step was, but that's okay. He's still working on all of us, right? And I still haven't figured it all out. Nor will I till I see Jesus Christ, probably. So here he wants to increase their faith. You know, trials come into our lives, and there's a purpose. And purpose is to strengthen our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When we stand before Christ, did we suffer for the cause of Christ? Remember we talked about the building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? That's all part of this. Again, I'm not saying let's go find out and see if somebody will shoot us or beat us up. Or I'm telling what the purpose behind all this. When you minister as a Christian and share the gospel with people, you will begin to suffer persecution. It may be with your parents. It may be with your sisters and brothers. It may be with a close family, friend, whatever. There is going to be some problems. There's going to be some difficulties there. Why? Because they don't want to hear it. Unless the Lord blesses and draws them to it. But they need to hear it. And to neglect to tell them is basically saying, I don't care about them. Why do you chasten your children? Because you want to beat them up. No, because you love them so much. Just like God does for us. So here's the plan. And so he's trying to increase their faith. There's a trial they're going to go through, and it's not them specifically, although Thomas is ready for it. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go, and we're going to die. That's in his mind. I can't even imagine thinking that way. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm going to go this 1.7 miles or whatever it is, and it's going to take me probably close to a day, maybe. I don't know. But I'm walking with Jesus, and the whole time I'm thinking, okay, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. They're going to get us, and they're going to kill us all. And times were different back then because they did kill people, right? Pretty regular. So anyway, we see that situation. Romans 8, 28 through 29, we all know these verses, and they are very important. Because Paul writes, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is the image of his Son? Jesus came for one purpose, to seek and save that which is lost. And he went to the cross to die. That's what we learn as we study the Bible, is when I put my faith and trust in Christ, my life is being transformed and it's being changed. And I too die daily. I have my mind renewed. I'm in the scriptures. I'm trying to find out what does God want me to do. And we know, we come across those verses. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. We know that. They're there. What do we do with those? Well, he's calling that pastor. He's calling Matt and Katie Northcutt. That's who he called. I know that because they're gone. Patrick and Emily, they're called, okay? Andrew and Sean, they're called. Rest of us, we're just hanging on. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, but sometimes that's what we think. That's the way we act. We demonstrate our faith by the actions we do. And when you do, I promise you, you will find out what suffering and tribulation will be. If you stand for Christ, the world hates Christ. The world's going to hate you, he said. Those aren't idle words. Those weren't just, hey, this, I want to let you know. He prepared his disciples. And we see that Thomas, he's getting it. He's kind of understanding it. Let us also go that we may die with him, he said. But let's look on. Then when Jesus came, verse 17, found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Boy, I can't even imagine. Okay? 4 days he's in the grave. He didn't attend the funeral. Okay? Even though he loves this man, he didn't attend the funeral. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. A furlong is 600 feet, at least according to what I looked up. You know a mile is 5,280 feet. Do the math. Okay? And it's 15 of them. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So Martha and Mary had some influence. They had some friends there. Of course, they were Jews as well. And they came and they were ministering to them. Sort of like the wake, if you will, probably what was going on there. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Look at the response here. As Jesus is coming, we see Martha's faith. Remember, Martha is the one who's busy about serving. She is a person of action. Okay? She's a doer. Now, she needs to spend some time at the feet of Jesus, as we learned earlier. Maybe she has. But she's also a doer. Mary is sobbing. She's still at the house. You know, maybe she didn't hear. I don't know. But Martha took off and met Jesus. He wasn't there yet, but she went to meet him. Okay? Look at her faith. She has faith. But he did this to increase her faith that he, Jesus himself, might get the glory through this and lives can be changed. In verse 21, verse 20 said, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Again, we don't know if Mary even knew. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, here's our faith. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She believed with all her heart, if Jesus was there at the time he was sick, he'd be okay. She had faith. That is faith. She believed. But Jesus has another plan. Verse 22 says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She knows that he's in touch with God. Actually, he is God. But Jesus came to do the will of himself, right? No, the will of the Father. Everything Jesus did was the will of God. This is the will of God that's taking place right here. Mary understands that. She has faith. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. I want to show you Mary's faith. Listen to what Mary says. Or Martha. I keep getting Mary. Sorry. Martha, 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 Martha. Let me say it one time. Martha. Okay. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She is a born-again Christian. She realized she was lost. She realized that she deserved to go to hell. And she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that she would have everlasting, eternal life. She believed that as Jesus Christ, and he hadn't gone to the cross yet, as he would go to the cross, die, and raise again, that she too would be raised again. She believed it. She says it right here. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, yet shall he live. This morning, the same question he asked her, is a question I ask you. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? Has there been a time in your life when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? That you realized you were lost and the only way you can have a relationship with God is put your faith and trust in Jesus? Believest thou this? Verse 26, he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, that is Messiah, okay, anointed one, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, which should come into the world. She believed it with all her heart. What kind of faith does she have? She had a faith that had action to it. She sent those messengers to get Jesus. Please come quickly. My brother's dying and I know that you can heal him. She knew it. She also knew that he's dead for 4 days now. And guess what? He will be raised up at the end of all of this. Those in Christ, right? Those that sleep in Christ. She knew that, believed it. But Jesus has a different plan. Verse 28, and when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the master's come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. So I assume she didn't hear it before. And now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews, Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, those friends that came over at the wake, when she saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, what does Mary do? She fell down at his feet. When we see Mary in the Bible, this particular Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. I think it's at least three times we'll see those things. And listen to what she says. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So the same faith that Martha had, Mary had. They both believed that Jesus could heal them. Do you believe that Jesus can heal you this morning? Do you believe that Jesus can put you on the right path and take care of you no matter what you're going through, no matter what situation you're in, whatever happens in your life? I believe it with all my heart. And I'll believe it till I see Him and still believe it. Because I know His plan is perfect, whatever that encompasses. Wherever He leads me, wherever I'm willing to follow. So we see both of these ladies had faith. I'm sure Lazarus did too. Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Imagine this, Jesus, deeply moved. That's what that word groan means. He's deeply moved by this, even though he knows all this is going to take place and this is the will of the Father. He was troubled or agitated, it says, in his own spirit. He saw those who believed him, and he saw those who didn't. There were lost people there too. And they were hurting. And so he was hurting as well. Why? Because he loves these people. Jesus loves you. The Bible teaches us you can cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He loves you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your difficulties. He knows your struggles. He knows your pains. He knows your trials. And he's there for us. I can't sing, and I'm not going to turn there for a time, but does Jesus care? It's a wonderful song. Go back and look at that, those four choruses. It's talking about our Lord and Savior. He cares for us. Yes, I know he cares, right? Jesus cares. He's demonstrating that right here. Look on down, it says, and he said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then verse 35, that all the children know as to be the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Do you see his compassion? Do you see his care for these folks? He wept. He wept, I personally believe, because of their pain that they were suffering, that they were struggling with. You know, Jesus came as a man, 100% man, 100% God. In Isaiah 53, he experiences the things we do. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is Jesus. This is who he is. This is what he did when he came here. And look what the Jews said. Behold how he loved them. What a testimony. Weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Just as Jesus did, we are to do as well. And that's what he's doing here. He's an example for us. And the people that were around and saw this, they said, behold, that he loves them. That's amazing to me. Jesus is a real live person, but he's more importantly, he is God. Verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? So there's some folks who don't have have the faith yet. They're just asking the question, well, couldn't he do this? Of course, the answer is emphatically,
yes.
Yes, he could do this. But he's got a different purpose, and we're going to see. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Similar, if you think about it, the sepulcher that Jesus Christ himself was in a sense. Jesus said, take away the stone. Now listen to Martha. She's thinking. And what she says makes sense in the realm that we as humans think. But she's missing the mark a little bit, and Jesus will straighten her out. But she said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. It's almost like he's saying, really, Lord? I mean, really? The guy's wrapped up. He's in the tomb. And you want to get that stone away and bring him out of the... What are you talking about? He stinks. And Jesus is going to rebuke her. In verse 40, he says, Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? He's saying, Martha, believe what I'm doing. Don't question it. Just believe it. Believe the words of Jesus. Believe what he says. That's what he's saying to her. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, he's praying to God. God the Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now I want you to see why he's praying. You know, we can pray to God without talking out loud. You know that. You do it all the time. But he had a specific purpose for this. And it really relates to us as well. Verse 42, he says, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He verbalized it where everybody was there. Why did he pray like that? Because he wanted the people there to hear it and believe. Why do we give testimony? So those that are in the room or where we're at will hear as well that God is working. Again, you see this everywhere in the Bible, that this is part of a Christian's life. If you are filled with the Spirit and love God, then you want to talk about God. What's he doing? Where's he sending you? Who are you talking with? What are you doing in your Christian life? This is what he's saying. So people can hear it, what? Believe. That's what he's saying here. He did this out loud for people to hear it and believe. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! Now, let me make a point about this. And then again, this is what I believe. Jesus didn't cry with a loud voice to tell Lazarus to come out of that grave. He didn't do it for that reason. He did it because there was people there. And he wanted to make sure they heard what he said. You know, you've been in crowds and someone say something, the guys in the back say, what did he say? What's going on? He said it loud enough that when Lazarus came out of that grave, they knew that he called him out. You see how important that is? It's important. People need to hear, and Jesus wants to make sure they hear. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Here's a live man wrapped up in grave clothes. Was dead for 4 days, and his sister said, he stinketh. I bet he didn't stink. I bet when they took that off, he was fine. Now, I don't know that. I'm just guessing. So all of this has a purpose. All this, the way it was planned, had a purpose. Jesus could have went right away. He could have took the journey, went over, saw Lazarus, and said, Lazarus, rise up. Or he could have touched him, and he could have done lots of things, and Lazarus would have been alive. But that's not what he did. He did it this way, and there is an importance to this because it made sense. He says, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He wants them, these people, to know that Jesus Christ, He is the Savior. He's the one that is sent from God. That was the whole purpose of this thing. In verse 45, we'll probably end here, it says, and listen what happens here. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him. The whole purpose that He came, the whole purpose for this scenario was that God would get the glory and people would believe on Jesus Christ. That's what He did when I got saved on October 26, 1992. He said, Bruce, I want you to do this. This is your life. I got it planned out. Your plans no longer matter. Like I said, it took me 4 years to figure that out. But He removed those things that I wanted to do from me. He took them away. He did it. I didn't do it. My plan, like I said, was to try to be the vice president of this company I was working. I didn't esteem too high. I didn't want to be careful there, you know, to be the vice president. I had them in my folder, everything I need to do for the next level of my promotion. And I was checking those off. You had to have so many patents and you had to have this and that. I was checking those off because that was my desire, was to become a big engineer in this company, make lots of money, and 55, buddy, retirement. Two houses, maybe three. One at the beach, one in the mountains, and one where I can stay. Cars and boats. I got saved, gradually he started taking things away from me right away. Well, not right away, probably a year or so later. I had a 1967 Mustang my grandfather bought brand new. It was in my garage. And I sold that. I said, well, I'm going to get rid of it. God started dealing with my heart. I sold my Gullwing. I said, well, I just need to get rid of this. I started selling things because God had a different plan. And it was no longer those things that I wanted to live for. He just took the desire away. When I go to work, I was supposed to make cable. He took the desire away. I was sitting there with my little New Testament in my back pocket, and I said, hey, let me show you something. And I learned I couldn't do that all the time. There are special times you can do it, breaks and different things, or if somebody says something and you're working, you can do that. You can communicate with people because they can cuss and swear all they want. You ought to be able to say something about the Lord, you know. It changes our lives. We look at things that are not important anymore and we let those go by the wayside. When your focus is on Jesus, and I'm still learning this, is that the other things, they become dim. There is no longer that desire because now you know why you're here. God has a purpose for every one of us. Yes, you've got to eat and live, but somewhere along the line, we got to put our faith and trust in God for that too. And say, Lord, I surrender. You're going to take care of me, and that's just the way it's going to be. And I promise you, He will. He will. So we see the result of this. So let me conclude. I'm just reminded of what a powerful Savior we have. He is God. Jesus, when He left this earth, before He left this earth, He told His disciples, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. That Comforter is God. That Spirit is God. If you're a born-again Christian, you have God living inside of you because your spirit bears witness with His. You should be struggling with the life that we're living if it's not following Christ. It ought to be something you're saying, man, I don't know, I got to do something else. This is not right. There ought to be something there if you have the Spirit of God because your spirit is supposed to bear witness with His In the Christian, it will. You will fight until you say, okay, I give up, Lord. And surrender and let Him lead. It happens. There are a lot of people today that started off in some job somewhere, got saved, started learning and growing in the Word of God, and then they knew, there's something else I got to do. Every pastor that's a born-again pastor would tell you the same thing. Every lay person that knows in his heart and mind that's what to do. When I got saved, visitation, I'm there. We did it twice a week. I was there. Why? Because the Bible said go. Now, I was stupid and didn't know how to go, but I did. I went and I learned from it, but you got to go. And that's what happens in a Christian's life when you start learning and realizing all I got to do is beg Christ. It's all up to Him to take care of the results. I go in the Spirit. I share what the Word of God says. And everybody has to make up their own mind. And today you're going to get very few people that are going to decide for Christ. But if one person does, one person, one lost sheep, hallelujah, right? Actually, they'll become a sheep. So that is it, the power that the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas said, let us also go that we may die with Him. That is what the Christian life is all about. To have faith in our Saviors, to lose our lives. Jesus said in Matthew, For what is a man profited? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? A lot of people are doing that today. Paul said in Philippians 1:20-24, we read it this morning, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I'll choose that which is not the best in His mind. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. It's our willingness to die for Christ. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1-2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. That's not 110%. That's just giving the 100%. That's it. Reasonable service. And you can tell by your reasonable service how we're doing. And then he says, and this is a help to all of us if we'll take heed to it, and be not conformed to this world. If you can win that battle, the rest of it gets a whole lot easier. The conforming of this world is so subtle. Satan tempts us. He throws things out there. In every area of our lives, he'll do something to get us hooked that we'll follow the world, be diverted. But he tells us not to be conformed to this world. And then he says, but be ye transformed. And how does that happen? By the renewing of the mind. How are you going to have your mind renewed? The Word of God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thomas said, let us also go that we may die with Him. Are you thinking that way today? Is that on your heart and mind that you want to follow Jesus even though you may die? Initially, it's dying to self, because that's what you have to do to follow Jesus. Obviously, you have to be a born-again Christian. Paul said it best, and we shared it, and I'm going to close with this last verse. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God this morning. We thank You for the power that it has. Father, if there's one person in here that's moved to take a step, to move out and to have that desire to do what You've called them to do, that they might take their eyes off the world just for understanding that's the only thing that's going to help them. They might look to You and trust You, realizing that Your plan is perfect. And Your plan may cost us something. Because yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall, the Bible says, suffer persecution. Father, help us to suffer the persecution for the right reasons, because of the love of Christ in our life and our willingness to serve you, realizing that you have a greater life for us than what we could ever figure out on our own. Guide and direct. Let us also go, that we may die with him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.